So while Bennett's attention is on New Hampshire, for everybody else in national politics, today is all about Iowa.
The Iowa caucuses, this is what we've been leading up to all this time. And for the
2020 Democrats making their final pitches ahead of tonight's first true test of the 2020 race, the Iowa caucuses.
So what are the people who are going to be caucusing tonight? What are they thinking about at the last hour? Fox and Friends weekend co-host.
Rachel and I are sitting with the morning crowd at Smoky Row, really cool coffee shop in Des Moines, Iowa. Good morning, everyone.
All right. We are now about 5 hours away from the start of caucusing, and joining us now from Iowa is WBUR senior political reporter Anthony Brooks. Anthony, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Hey, Callum. It's nice to be with you.
This isn't your first time covering the Iowa caucuses, Anthony. I'm not calling you old. I'm just saying you're experienced, and I'm wondering what stands out to you about this year.
Thank you for that important distinction. I think it's fair to say that, you know, I heard Michael Bennett talking about sort of a possible muddled result coming out of Iowa. I'm not sure if that's going to be the case, but it is the case that this race does seem like it's up for grabs between these four leading candidates, Bernie Sanders, Joe Biden, Elizabeth Warren, and Pete Buttigieg, all of whom are within a few points of each other, according to the most recent polls. That said, there's a sense that Sanders is very much the front runner, benefiting from some late momentum. So arguably he's peaking at a pretty good time. He's had some huge crowds this week, including a rally, a concert rally that drew 3,000 people over the weekend. But, you know, Iowa is also a state that rewards a strong ground game. Sanders certainly has that. So does Elizabeth Warren. Warren has been losing some of her momentum lately, so it'll be interesting to see if her ground game can make up some of that. But what I think I'm struck by, Callum, is how many voters I've talked to as recently as yesterday who still say they haven't made up their mind. That's really striking.
Well, to put a number on that, a recent Des Moines Register poll said that 40% of likely Democratic caucus goers have not yet made up their minds. So what's the holdup, Anthony? I mean, what are people telling you about what's keeping them from making a choice?
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, there's two ways to look at that Des Moines number. So in 2016 and 2008, a quarter or more of Iowa Democrats chose their candidates within the last week of campaigning. And in 2004, when former Senator John Kerry was trailing badly in the polls a month out, he wound up winning, 42% decided in the final week. So this is something that happens out here. People take their time, they deliberate, they're thoughtful. But I think one of the things that's happening this year is this quandary for lots of Democrats. Should you vote your heart or for the candidate that you think that other people think has the best chance of beating Trump? And this is sort of tying a lot of people in knots, if you will, because there's so much concern about beating Donald Trump. And then there's a lot of sort of personal passion for individual candidates and trying to get those two sort of forces to mesh inside your decision-making process, whatever process you're making, is I think, causing a lot of angst for folks out here.
Well, and just to amend what I said a moment ago, Anthony, the number is even bigger than I had said. That was 40% in the poll had made up their minds. So we flipped that around. There's a lot
of
undecided voters there. And you've heard from
some of
them.
Let's be clear about that. That was a poll from, earlier in January. So my guess is the number is lower by now. But still, the point stands. A lot of people are making up their mind.
So let's hear from some of those voters, Anthony. I mean, what are they telling you?
Yeah, I mean, to get back to this issue of voting your heart, you know, versus voting for who you think can win, this is an issue for Elizabeth Warren. One of the campaigns that I've been following out here is hers, and I'm meeting people who say they personally support her, but then they're sort of worried about, but, you know, is the country ready for a woman president? So here's Glenda Kernan, who I met in Waukee, Iowa, at a Joe Biden event. She is supporting Joe Biden, but here's what she said about Elizabeth Warren.
I love Elizabeth. I've seen her several times. But I still think Biden can duke it out. Because, I'm sorry, he's a man. And I'm ready for a woman. I think we are. But I'm not still sure that America is.
So that idea, Callum, not sure that America is ready for a woman president. You know, this is something that Warren has been addressing directly as recently as yesterday in one of her final rallies out here at Iowa State University in Ames. Here's a bit of what she said.
In 2018, Democrats took back the House of Representatives, you know this, in Iowa, because women got out there and ran, and women and friends of women got out there and helped them. That's how we make this happen.
So that's one of the ways she's, addressing this so-called electability issue.
I think that she's also fond of pointing out, Anthony, that she and Amy Klobuchar are the undefeated candidates in this race, right? So puts the light of that notion, but it's still out there. If we go by the polls, though, Anthony, we were talking about some of that earlier, and you said Bernie Sanders is emerging as a front runner, both in Iowa and New Hampshire. Do you feel like he's consolidating support on the ground, or is the race still too fluid to say that at this point?
I mean, I'm just so loath to make predictions. I think we all learned in 2016 what happens when we make predictions. I mean, it does look, if you look at the polling, the most recent polling, Bernie Sanders definitely is the one to beat. I think there is an expectation that he's going to do very well. He almost won it in 2016. He lost very, very closely to Hillary Clinton. There's a lot of enthusiasm for him on the ground. He had a rally that attracted, I think I just mentioned that, 3,000 people over the weekend. But, you know, it's interesting because he suffers in a way from some of that angst. You hear voters talking about, you know, can we really elect a Democratic socialist? And I want to play an interesting cut of tape. So I met a mother and a son at a Sanders rally in Indianola. Her name is Renee Stoddicker, and her son is Joe Stoddicker. He's 23. He's for Sanders. She's older, obviously, his mother, and is for Warren, and says she's concerned that Sanders isn't a Democrat, and it will be easy for Trump to take him down as a Democratic socialist. But here's her son, 23-year-old Joe Stoddicker, who says labels like that just don't mean anything to his generation.
I know that's certainly still kind of a dirty word in American politics, but our generation didn't get as much of that propaganda, Red Scare type stuff, so it's really not going to be as effective.
So he says, I mean, he's 23, and Sanders is doing very, very well with young voters. And of course, the concern about sort of for moderate Democrats is, you know, win or lose, are they going to show up in November and vote in large numbers that Sanders claims they will? And Sanders presents that as sort of the key to his victory.
Interesting. Last thing, Anthony, while I have you, are all these candidates going to be flooding back into Iowa tonight after they fulfill their impeachment obligations in Washington, or are they heading straight to New Hampshire?
I've heard from at least one campaign, and that's absolutely the plan. And they all are scheduled to be back in Des Moines. And of course, we're talking about Elizabeth Warren, Amy Klobuchar, and Bernie Sanders after they get through with business in Washington.
All right. That's WBUR senior political reporter Anthony Brooks joining us from Des Moines right before the caucuses tonight. Anthony, thank you.
My pleasure, Callum.